When biblical scholar Eugene Peterson wrote his translation of Scripture, published under the title The Message, he rendered the words of Isaiah spoken through John the Baptist this way: prepare God's arrival, make the road smooth and straight. Every ditch will be filled in, every bump smoothed out, the detours straightened out, all the ruts paved over. Everyone will be there to see the parade of God's salvation. I've actually been in a lot of parades over my lifetime. As a child in elementary school, I was in a Brownie troop and then a Girl Scout troop. We were always invited to march in the Memorial Day and the Labor Day and the 4th of July parades. Our school had a marching band, so starting in 7th grade, I was in parades, including the Sherburne pageant of bands held every spring. And one year, our director got us an invitation to march in Louisville, Kentucky, as part of the Week of Derby festivities. In the years after high school, my father and I both played in the Clark Mills Community Band, which paraded nearly every weekend of the summer for one Fireman's Field Days or another. Now, parade organizers try to choose a wide, even road with few turns and few bumps and potholes. You try to make it as easy as you can for those who are walking or marching or even biking. Now, I don't know of any community who does this, but it sure would be nice if someone smoothed over the bumps and paved over the ruts before the marchers showed up. And you know, the horses are always in the back of the lineup because you don't want to give your marchers more obstacles to navigate. John, through the prophet Isaiah, suggests preparing and paving the way for God is a form of justifying in the sense of typing or printing, a means of evening out. You know, when type is justified, the margins on both sides of the page are even, a means of leveling the playing field. And so when I think of parades, I think of yet another aspect of leveling the playing field that we also are attentive to, and that's making space for the little ones. Every parade I've been to, I have seen parents or grandparents move their kids to the edge of the road, because if they stayed behind all the full-sized adults, they would not see what's happening. They will miss out. Leveling the field for the littlest ones means yielding space to them. Yielding space to the least of God's people is also a recurrent theme throughout the prophets. Peace, peace, but there is no peace, cries the prophet Jeremiah twice in the book of Scripture that bears his name. Jeremiah and his friend Baruch lived in a time of upheaval in the land of Judah, the southern kingdom that was part of Israel in the years after the exodus from slavery in Egypt. Much of Jeremiah's writings are a lament over what's befallen God's people: famine, destruction, war, conquest, slavery, and death. And Jeremiah calls out the nation's leaders who have rejected God's word, failed the people, but now utter deceitfully to the people, be at peace while the injustices continue. They are living with the consequences of their actions, Jeremiah contends, yet he also affirms God's love for the people and trusts in a future full of hope and peace and restoration. Now, Baruch served Jeremiah as a scribe and a messenger. When the nation of Judah was conquered by Babylon, the king and many of its people, including Baruch, were taken into captivity. And this book we read from today, the one that bears his name, is set in Babylon with Baruch reading his scroll to the king of Judah and the other exiles. Like Jeremiah, Baruch both reflects with sorrow on what has befallen God's people and looks forward with hope. Like Jeremiah, he urges his countrymen to lean into God's promises, to stand up tall, to trust in God's faithfulness and love, to believe in what God will do. Don't let this season of captivity define you. Beloved, precious children of the eternal one, let God define you. So return to God's path. Clothe yourselves with godly dignity, with godly justice. What exactly does the word justice mean in this scripture setting? to the exiles who saw the holy city of Jerusalem leveled, their friends and neighbors slain in battle, it might be tempting to think of justice as vengeance, but vengeance is not the equivalent of justice in the Hebrew scriptures. Revenge is not what God calls the people to. No, scriptural justice means making things right, justifying in that printing sense once again, evening out, leveling the playing field till everyone is on equal footing, making sure the parade route is smooth and straight, making space for the littlest ones to enjoy an equal share, making a place at the table for every one of God's people. That is the sort of justice that makes for true and lasting peace, because without justice, there can be no peace. The psalmists looked forward to the coming of the day of salvation, the day, they wrote, when love and faithfulness will meet together, when righteousness and peace will kiss each other, and faithfulness springs forth from the earth. The prophet Jeremiah counseled his countrymen living in exile in Babylon to make peace in this way. Build houses, he said, and settle down, and plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which you have been carried. And our reading from Baruch today says, take off your mourning clothes, dress yourself in godly dignity, wrap justice around you like a robe. And the Apostle Paul, he prayed for the church at Philippi, that they might grow closer to God, become more loving, and gain greater knowledge and insight. Because to know God is to know that God's heart lies with the poor, the disenfranchised, and the oppressed. To gain God's wisdom moves us to act on their behalf. Each year, the United Methodist Church marks Peace with Justice Sunday, usually in the month of June. And we lift up those stories of those who are working to make a place at the table for those who aren't there yet. Special offerings received on that Sunday support local missions who are living into that vision. Some of the projects that our annual conference gave grant money to in this year include an anti-drug program for teens through the African American Ministries of Aldersgate Church in Rochester, a community gun violence conversation table at Gloversville Methodist Church, a project in Phoenix, New York called Loads of Love, where volunteers visit the local laundromat with a supply of quarters and snacks and activities to keep young children occupied while their parents get laundry done, anti-racism conversations sponsored by the New York State Council of Churches, and pandemic supplies for the Niagara Frontier City Ministry that included both cleaning and sanitizing supplies and materials for church members to make reusable masks that could be shared with the poor and homeless population that that ministry serves on an ongoing basis. A place at the table. Maybe not quite yet a complete leveling of the field, but steps in that direction. Preparation for the parade day that is coming. As we watch the candle of peace burning brightly on our Advent wreath today, I invite you to consider other possibilities sparked in your imagination, other things that can bring greater peace to our neighbors through acts of justice. Who still needs a place at the table? And how can we help them get there? Amen.